Welcome to In Body We Trust, where we explore how trusting the wisdom of the body can lead to greater evolution, expansion, and empowerment. This is a place you can come to listen, learn, and see how cultivating safety and trust within can help you become the unstoppable human you were born to be. I'm your host, Caitlin Grant. I'm so glad that you are here, and welcome to the show. Hey, welcome back. So glad that you are here. I'm actually sitting in my car right now recording this podcast. My house is just full of kid noises, and so I'm sitting in my car in the driveway really hoping that the neighbor's lawn service doesn't come by because they usually mow the lawn on Mondays, and today is a Monday. Anyway, I'm really excited today to talk about the paradox of healing. I have shared in most of the episodes before this about safety and really emphasized this idea of creating safety in the body, and that coming back to that place of safety is the most pivotal piece of doing things that are scary, of stepping into new ways of being, and even just stepping into our gifts and doing things that we may have never done before. And what I also want to emphasize is that while, yes, creating safety within is insanely important, it's not always going to be attainable right away. And so there's things that we have to do scared. There are moments that we have to move toward the fear, knowing that we're not going to completely get rid of it, knowing that there may be some actual literal things that feel and are threatening about stepping into our power, for example, using our voice. The brain creates these threat responses, and many times they are misaligned with what's happening in the world around us, which is what I've talked about in some previous episodes. But there are also moments where that threat is real. And no, it's not the threat of a saber-toothed tiger like chasing you down, but it may be the threat of being ostracized for speaking your truth. It may be the threat of being disliked for not agreeing as you always have in the past. It may be the threat of looking silly because you're doing new things that you've never done before, and perfection is bullshit. So the threat, while not actually life-threatening, can still be something that does threaten your sense of belonging and connection, which is honestly the thing that humans are wired for. We are wired for connection. We are wired for community. And so, yeah, there are times that we are going to take steps forward to claim our gifts, to become the leaders that we feel and know we are. And in doing that, we're stepping into this new embodiment of somebody that we may not have really embodied all of the time. And people around us might be like, I'm sorry, who are you? Who do you think you are? There's all kinds of projections that may show up, and it's going to feel like, holy shit, what am I doing? What if they don't like me? What if I say the wrong thing? While I've spoken so much about finding safety and coming back to safety, that's obviously a really vital part of doing new things. It's a vital part of healing. It's a vital part of making the unconscious conscious. But there's this space between. There's this space between safety and fear that we have to walk more often than not, especially in the beginning. As we first begin to expand our capacity, as we first begin to step into our leadership, as we first begin to honestly just stand more anchored in our own energy, in our own boundaries. And what I love about this, what's sort of poetic about all of this, is that the vagus nerve in itself is a paradox. The vagus nerve not only is what creates safety and calm within the body, it is also what signals the body to have those stress responses during times of activation. It does both. And as humans, when we begin to heal or to move towards our dreams, to bring our desires into fruition, we have to both create safety within ourselves, because no one's going to create safety for us. We have to both create that safety within ourselves and move towards fear. We have to do both. We have to expand our capacity, and nobody can do that for us. If you're ready to trust yourself and the wisdom of your body, this is for you. Head over to www.inbodywetrust.com and check out my signature course, Reconnected. It's the ultimate guide to help you cultivate safety and trust in your body, to expand your capacity and presence in the world, and become the unstoppable human you were born to be. That's www.inbodywetrust.com to get started. And for a special listener discount, use the code PODCAST at checkout. Okay, let's get back to the show. In a previous episode, I said nobody can tell you what to do, and also nobody can make you feel safe. Nobody can expand your ability to hold stressors and to hold joy and to move with the ebbs and flows of life. These are all things that we have to do for ourselves. And the most powerful way to do that is through the body. So we say that trauma lives in the body. I use this language all the time, but it's not so much that the experiences are literally stuck in the body. Like sometimes I just imagine like little caricatures of trauma, like stuck inside the muscles inside of my body. I don't know what you envision, but that's a glimpse into my brain. But it's not so much that these experiences are literally stuck inside, so much as the traumas and the experiences, the activations, create implicit memories. So when our survival responses take over, the part of the brain that is responsible for explicit or conscious memories shuts off. So the automatic responses take over. And then they are stored, and those memories exist, but not so much in memory that we can recall as like our favorite memories as a child or things that we did the other day. They're stored in the implicit memory. So it's the unconscious memory. But these implicit memories impact the body. So technically, the trauma is trapped in the brain, but it presents in the body through armoring, which is like tension and tightness of the muscles and the fascia due to the employment of our physiological trauma responses and also prolonged stress and holding patterns. It also presents through our embodied patterns. So like the postures that we hold, the way that we move, like literally how we walk, the gestures we use, like the way that you move your hands when you talk, our reactions, as well as our emotions. There's a variety of things. And these are all typically unconscious things until we focus on them, until we put the intention on knowing them. So the process is bringing the unconscious conscious. I'm just going to give you a glimpse of the process that I facilitate within my spaces, specifically the one-to-one containers that I hold. So the process is bringing the unknown into the known, to first connect to the body, even just through breath awareness, and then to find this sense of safety either outside of ourselves and eventually inside of ourselves. So this is also referred to as a resource. So finding external safety, an external resource. This could be a memory, this could be a favorite blanket, a pet, a person. And then we also begin to work with finding a resource or a sense of internal safety within the body. Is there a place in your body that feels like home, that feels like you, that feels open? There's a lot of different ways that we can describe this. And then once we have this basis of safety, this is like our anchoring point that we can come back to, because as we shed light on these patterns and on these parts of ourselves that have been trapped and stored away from us, that's when the fear comes in. Things start to feel really shaky. And so we have this resource within ourselves to keep coming back to, so that we don't feel the sense of overwhelm. We don't have to relive the trauma. We also don't go into a spiral that takes us outside of our body again. So we have this resource. We begin to engage with the felt sense, which means we begin to connect to how we're feeling inside the body through sensation, through sort of that gray, murky area where you're like, I know that there's something that I feel inside, but I can't quite put my finger on it. Really bringing awareness to that place is the work of the felt sense. And then we can begin excavating. We can release some of the tension in the body through breath work, through self-body work, which would just be like self-massage, maybe even just self-support, like giving yourself a hug, squeezing with pressure. We can begin to expand the capacity also through breath work, through what is called a chosen stressor, which the body responds very differently to than a stressor that just happens naturally in your environment. But when you choose to put yourself into short periods of stress, whether it be by invigorating breath work, maybe cold exposure, this is where ice baths come into play. This is a great way to help increase your capacity. Myself personally weaves in human design around this time as well to discover what the conditioning is, where some of your blocks are, maybe what some of your gifts are. We get to engage with all of this information as it's excavated, as it's brought to the surface, and then try on new ways of being. Maybe you bring into awareness this posture, this patterned posture of the shoulders coming forward, this protection of the heart. We get to practice like literally opening up that heart space, allowing yourself to feel vulnerable, and then try that on over and over. That's why these tools are also called practices, because we engage in them often, consciously, intentionally, and stay with the sensations in the body to ensure that we are in our own capacity. And then they begin to create new pathways. We get to wire these new ways of doing things. And with the awareness in itself, as I've mentioned, awareness in itself is healing. Because sometimes that's all we need, is just to know, oh, I'm doing this thing. Well, I don't want to do that anymore because it's not supporting me. And sometimes that's enough for you to change the pattern. But the journey is to the now. The journey is not to go back into the past, not to fixate on what you're going to do next week when you come up against another stressful situation or whatever it is that's going on. The journey is in this moment right now. All of this is engaged and practiced in the present moment. The past can be helpful in certain moments to maybe bring closure, you know, to make sense of something that may have had a really profound impact on your life. But healing really does not require the story. The body can only exist in the now. It can only engage in the now. The future is chasing down the resources that we don't yet have. In the past is dwelling on something that we can't change. Be in the present. Be with yourself. This is it. Like that's the practice, really. Be in the present, be in the now, be with yourself and what is happening in the now. Know that that is the most amazing thing that you'll ever do for yourself. And it's also the scariest. Shedding layers, stepping out in ways that you never have, it feels terrifying, partly because your brain's responding to the threat that your mind has the story about. And as I mentioned, partly because it's actually fucking threatening. It's threatening this sense of security because it's not the familiar. People will say things. They will notice that you are different. People will notice that you are different. And it may trigger people. Healing doesn't happen in a vacuum. And so we come up against both whatever we're battling inside of ourselves. You know, a lot of times this process can feel like you're moving against yourself. But then there's also going to be monsters on the outside as well. Because healing is communal. Our nervous systems are honestly just responding to one another. So as yours becomes more resilient and anchored and steady, others can sense it and will either be inspired by it or they will also be threatened by it. So I personally have found it to be really important to put yourself in rooms with people that care about being authentic, regardless of how it triggers somebody else. Because those kinds of triggers, the ones that get people riled up when anything around them changes, when people heal, when people level up and evolve, if you will, those are just projections anyway. And we all know that projections are not about us. That is not our shit to clean up. But I say this because I think that it's helpful to know that there are days that it could feel lonely and it's going to feel like you know too much and you see too many of your patterns and you acknowledge all of your own bullshit and you can't unknow it. Your relationships will change. You may lose people. You'll gain people. It's honestly inevitable. And every step of the way, you're going to be invited back to yourself. You're going to be invited to stay anchored, to hold your boundaries, to know that you are worth it, to know that the desires that you are chasing, the gifts that you are stepping into, that they are here for a purpose, and that it's okay if other people don't understand, because that's also a part of their journey. And just a side note, I'm not going to try to tell you that like every single thing is an invitation. Everything happens for a reason. Honestly, I think that it's really valuable to also acknowledge that sometimes shitty things just happen. Like we don't need to make sense and attach a silver lining to every single awful experience that we've had. Because honestly, there is just this greater sense of mystery in the world that I think needs to be acknowledged. We don't have a reason for everything. There are moments that are painful, that are challenging, that are invitations. Invitations to lean into the medicine, to gain some sort of knowledge or greater understanding from. And there are also experiences and situations and interactions that just suck. And that is it. They just suck. And aren't fair and aren't explainable. I say that because I don't want this invitation that I'm giving here. I don't want the invitation to come back to yourself or the invitation to see what the greater medicine is. I don't want that to bypass really deeply traumatic experiences because I just don't think that everything happens for a reason. So all of that to say, as you move through this journey, the question becomes, are you a commitment to your deepest healing, whatever the consequences? Are you a commitment to yourself and the ease and flow and freedom that you long for? Are you a commitment to cracking open to love and beauty and creation, determined to make the world a more beautiful place? Are you a commitment to the breaking of the patterns that you have seen repeated generation after generation after generation before you, refusing to now pass them down to your own children? Whatever it is, know it's worth it, even when, and especially when, you come into this space that feels really terrifying and makes you want to crawl back into the hole, makes you want to crawl back into complacency, crawl back into familiarity, crawl back into smallness. Learn the tools to bring you back to center when the waves get rocky. Know that you can do things scared. Know that you can ask for help. You can receive support. Healing does not have to happen alone. You don't have to do any of this alone. I actually recommend that you don't. Because the dark night of the soul can get really lonely really quickly. And it is so healing just to be able to reach out to someone who can be there with you in the shadows, reminding you who you are, reminding you to come back to yourself, reminding you that you are capable and also that you are worth it. That all of this is worth it. Because there definitely comes the moments where you look around and you're like, holy shit, no matter what it is that you are unlearning and unraveling from, there comes that moment just before you change the pattern, just before you bridge the gap, just before you come over the hill and see the light that you think, what the fuck am I doing? Is this worth it? Is it really worth the journey? And I personally believe that it is. You don't have to believe that too. But I think that it is. And that is the work that I do. I get in the trenches with people. I don't think that every part of the journey has to be gut-wrenching and miserable and like the hardest work we've ever done. It gets to be easeful if we want it to be, but there are absolutely line in the sand moments for everybody. They are inevitable. We cannot escape them. And in those moments, in the trenches, that is where having a guide is so valuable. I get into the shadows, I get into the trenches right alongside you and say, this is why we're doing this. I hold the vision for you for the moments that you forget and for the moments that you say, I don't really know if I want to do this anymore. The journey is going to be unique to you, guided by your body's intelligence. We move through this arc of transformation, if you will, that really isn't even so much of an arc. I guess it's kind of maybe more like a spiral, because we're always, there's like the greater picture of safety and then embodiment and then expansion and more embodiment, and then we're coming right back into safety. So it's like there's all of these different, I don't even know how to describe it. There's just all of these different transformations that are happening sometimes simultaneously. But just remember that as we move through the world subscribing to this bullshit that what we don't know won't hurt us, that that's actually just keeping us in the same place. Believing that what you don't know won't hurt you is a way to just avoid everything, because really what we don't know keeps us stuck. What we don't know keeps us doing the same thing that we're doing. And if you're here listening to this podcast, you're obviously thinking about a new way of doing something. You're thinking about what's not working. Otherwise, you wouldn't really care about this topic of healing through the body. So what we give focus to, what we give energy to, what we look at can no longer control us. It can no longer live in the shadows. And so this work of bringing the unconscious conscious, I think that that was a phrase by Carl Jung, bringing the unconscious conscious is what all of this is about. That's what all of the work that I facilitate is about. And as I've been emphasizing throughout this entire episode, it can feel really scary to start excavating these parts of ourselves that have either been intentionally or unintentionally hidden and kept in, you know, the back of the mind, kept away to keep us feeling safe. But you can do it, and I promise you, it is worth it. So that concludes today's episode. In episode 6 coming up, I'll dive a little more deeply into the specifics of the framework that I particularly work within. And it probably comes as no surprise to you that it is not a one-size-fits-all step-by-step process, but it is a beautiful process. And so until then, if this brought anything up for you, if you resonated deeply, please go over to Instagram at inbody.wetrust and just drop something in the comments. You can pop into the DM, send me a message, and just let me know how all of this is landing with you. So thank you again for being here, and I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for being here. Before you go, don't forget to follow the show and leave a 5-star review so more listeners can tune in and learn to trust themselves. If you loved today's conversation, screen cap this episode and share it to your Instagram stories. Be sure to tag me at inbody.wetrust. I'd love to meet you and connect further. I'm your host, Caitlin Grant, and I will see you in the next episode.